What made you want to like do that switch to get like into
He was, and like I worked at this place called CarMax. This guy was coming in like buying pickup trucks, and he would come back every 3 months and just flip them. And just like, so I was like, bro, like, what do you do? He's like, oh man, you know, I'm in tech. Like, bro, how do I get into something like that? He was like, maybe another time. Finally, he was like, okay, you're serious about getting into IT? Come over to the house. We'll talk. He gave me 4 books that were this thick. He sat them down on the table, and then he had some old school HP DL380 servers that had been recycled out. Threw them on the table. He was like, start here. If you're serious, we'll talk. Don't ask me no stupid questions. Start here. That started like a 4-year journey.
Welcome back to the Sexual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got my lovely co-host today with us,
Cyber Shorty.
And special guest all the way from the ATL, my cousin, Mr. Jay Davis.
What's happening, y'all?
First time on the pod, so y'all welcome in. But first, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, please follow, leave us a review, and help us out in the podcast analytics. And if you're watching the video right now, just hit the like button. And if you really like us, subscribe.
Thanks.
But yeah, man, glad to get you on the pod. It's been something we've been doing for a while.
Yeah.
We met when we all met up at Velvet Taco.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, I had the Kobe taco. It was good.
Or is it an upscale Taco Bell?
No, that's a little better than Taco Bell.
I'll agree. But the taco stand, best tacos, hands down.
Here.
And in San Diego, the taco stand. And they got one in Miami.
Really? I know everybody really still swear by Fuel City.
No.
Taco stand, if you haven't been, go. It doesn't matter the time of day that you go. It's packed out in any one of those locations.
It's a street taco, too.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, like, and that's my thing, like, anytime you eat like a food like that, if I don't see the people that look like them in there, I'm not eating.
See, so I got a theory. If I see the taco spot inside a convenience store, I know it's fire.
Oh, bro. No, inside of a gas station.
That's what I'm talking about.
Part. Oh, my that goodness.
It's one on like, yeah, it's one I haven't tried on El Dorado, like closer like to me, like Louisville and Aubrey and stuff that I know is banging.
There's one on Ledbetter, South Dallas, 10 out of 10.
Because that's just like
I wonder if
home.
It's still there.
The chicken spots be at the gas station.
Facts.
Same. We got a little joint in Shell. Mm. Something chicken. I can't even think of the name
crispy
right
chicken.
Now. It's nah, chicken tenders.
I thought you were talking
wings
about crispy cruncher.
It's not crispy cruncher. This is like some real deal. Like I ain't even been back like to Triple J and stuff in the hood. But if I ever went back, like if we was ever happened to be in Shreveport, I'm like, yo. Well, actually, I would take y'all to Southern Classic. I wouldn't take y'all to the bunch of colors. Southern Classic is like the staple. Mm-hmm. You got to go to the right one at the right time and be like, oh, yeah. What has been all my life?
That's dope, bro. Take me.
Destiny hadn't been yet for whatever reason.
Take me, what? Man.
Had Southern Classic chicken. Oh, I forgot. You don't even eat chicken, so you can't eat it.
Okay.
But they got apple pies. They got mashed potatoes.
Respect.
You know I love me some sides.
They got stuff you can eat.
Yeah.
I think that some of them got fish.
Have you had something chicken here? Oh, it's gonna come to me.
If it's anything with chicken, probably not. Unless it's Roots chicken.
Gus's chicken.
Yeah.
Five.
Gus's chicken.
Gus is good because it get better as like the days go on.
It's so good.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so
they got it here. They got it in Austin. I think the OG one is Memphis, right?
Do we have one in Atlanta?
I don't know. But I know it's only two here in Dallas.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
And the sides are good too.
Really?
Yes.
Y'all gonna have to take me there then, Gus, because I love some chicken.
So I know some of y'all probably watch. I think his name is like B Cooks on TikTok. He said he's on the mission to find the best fried chicken in Dallas. If y'all want us to try the best fried chicken in Dallas, we might make that like a vlog episode. We go
Come
try
on.
Chicken.
Let's do it.
Put it in the comments. But I know y'all ain't come here for chicken. Jay, could you just give like a brief intro about yourself?
Yeah, man. So Jay Davis, man, I've been in tech for a really long time, over 15, almost 18 years now. I've been in tech. I've done pretty much everything. Started in help desk, engineering, consulting, architecture and design, in every facet, networking, cybersecurity, kind of done it all. So yeah, really excited to be here with you guys. I love Dallas. I love what you guys are doing, cuz it's good to, I'm convinced this is my cousin. We're family down the line somewhere. I love what y'all are doing with the podcast, and thank you for having me.
Cool thank you for joining us, man.
And yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like I said, we were talking about earlier how people think me and E related. I'm like, bro, we can start a show. I'm like, look.
Let's do it, man. Say the word.
But I know, so I was looking through your background, and I know you said you did sales for about a decade?
10 years.
What type of sales?
I've sold everything, man. Electronics, shoes, namely mostly cars.
Okay. Did you ever do like knobs and vacuums? You
never did knobs and vacuums, dude. I've done appliances though. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, home appliances.
I was trying to get into my favorite convo about like network marketing and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Did they ever get you?
Yeah, actually, you know, the first sales job I had was like, I was the annoying guy in the malls that did the interviews. They tried to get you to do like the surveys. Like, yo, come watch this 5-minute clip.
To get them,
and we'll pay you $5.
Them time things that people get.
Time shares.
Nah, I never did those. Okay. But yeah, like they would always be posted in the malls and try to get people to come do surveys. That was my first like sales job. Mm-hmm. It was dope.
So pretty much said almost 18 years. I'm trying to even think about how old I might have been when I said So I would say you got in like right before the 2010s and started doing like IT stuff.
Yeah.
Like by
2007, 2008.
So what made you want to like do that switch to get like into like IT?
Bro, it was weird because I always liked tech. Like they had like a CCNA course at high school. That's when they first started doing it. And I was looking for an elective and I was like, okay, well, why not? Mm-hmm. But while I was selling cars, actually, I met my mentor. I met this guy. He would, and like I worked at this place called CarMax. So it's a shout out to CarMax. Like, you know, they'll buy a car from you, whether you buy one from them or not. That was like their slogan. This guy was coming in, like buying pickup trucks. And he would come back every 3 months and just flip them. And just, so I was like, bro, like, what do you do? And he's like, oh man, you know, I'm in tech. I do real estate. I was like, bro, well, how do I get into something like that? He was like, ah, maybe another time. So eventually, now this guy, he became my mentor. He's like a second father to me, bro. Like, kind of took me under his wing, and that kind of started the journey of getting into tech. I mean, in a real way, it was crazy. We didn't have all of this stuff that everybody has these days. It's crazy.
But nah, that's what I tell the youngsters now when we're talking about how hard it is. I'm like, hard,
bro. Y'all.
Wasn't no podcast out on how to get into tech, no 18 years ago.
None of that.
Wasn't no ChatGPT for your resume.
None of that.
That was the real gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like,
yeah.
Especially us.
Man, I tell you, man. So finally, he was like, okay, you're serious about getting into IT. Come over to the house. We'll talk. Man, I pull up. I had never seen a mansion this big in my life. Like, I didn't have any idea. It was
ATL area?
It's ATL, yeah. So I pull up, I come through the gate, I come to the front door, and like he opens it. He's like, you can't come through the front, go to the back. So I had to like walk around like all the way down to the basement. I get down to the basement. And if you know, like back in the day, I started learning about infrastructures like Microsoft, that type of stuff. He gave me 4 books that were this thick. He sat them down on the table, and then he had some old school HP DL380 servers that had been recycled out. Threw him on the table. He was like, start here. If you're serious, we'll talk. Don't ask me no stupid questions. Start here. That started like a 4-year journey for me of like getting into IT for real. And so that was my intro.
So during that 4-year journey,
mm-hmm.
did you ever get like just a help desk job then?
Mm-mm.
Or you didn't do it till after the 4 years?
After the 4 years.
Okay.
Because his thing was, I can't put my name on you until I know you thorough. So, like, you know, that was the thing with, like, Microsoft tests and things of that nature. Like, we call them paper MCSEs or paper certs or paper folks now, but you couldn't really do that then. Like, either you knew it or you didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the tests were really geared towards those that it was more so instead of the book theory, it's, hey, you only know this if you're actually
using
the technology, right? They would ask you questions like that. So, yeah, man, I flunked them things. I flunked like 3 or 4 of them. You know what I'm saying? Just had to keep coming back, and finally, you know, push through. Yeah. So it was dope.
I was wondering, what does that look like for you? So you had someone who kind of took you under their wing, mm-hmm. and helped you, you know, progress to where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done the same for someone else? How do you feel about reaching back and helping someone, because that was, you know, how you were able to break in?
Absolutely. That's actually a big part of what I do. Like that's a big thing for me. So actually, ironically enough, my mentor and I, like once I was in the field for a couple years, we opened our own storefront like down in South Atlanta, and we were mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because, you know, we were looking like anybody could come, but we were looking for like people like us, because at the time it wasn't a lot of us. And man, like we've seen quite a few people come through that school. Like some of the guys that I was selling cars with, they came and they left selling cars and started getting into IT. And, you know, giving back has really kind of been, that's my mantra, you know, that's how I live my life. So.
Cool. Yeah. Definitely got to eventually hit y'all up, see what y'all want to do and help with the nonprofit.
Come on, man. Let's talk about it.
So I think one of the coolest things I saw is, well, for one thing, I actually will back it up some because your scenario is pretty much what I described to everybody when it comes to mentorship. It's usually not formal and it just happens. And you, all you asked the guy was, hey, how do I get into IT? You didn't ask him, can you mentor me? For the life of me, I don't know why people reach out to me and be like, can you mentor me? And I don't know you at all.
It's facts, man. It's relationships. Like
you
said,
I want to see what you know. How can you be some type of help with me? Can I put my name on you?
Yeah.
It's like the similar way, like I got even like different clients. I know the ones that come in and say, oh yeah, they're going to be something. I'm going to use a lot of my resources to make sure they get something first because they're going to be all right. And them, the clients that I've done that for, they've gone on and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
The other ones, I don't really tell somebody like too much about them. I got to see.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm always trying to figure out what you're working on, this and that, and you kind of like, first of all, wasting your own money and time, I'm not finna, you know, refer you.
That's facts, man. That's facts.
That's why, like, people gotta understand, like, it's informal. You might just meet somebody and start talking to them. And it's like, man, I like this guy. And I talked about daydreaming probably like a million times, but that's literally what happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
A little 18-year-old kid is like, yo, I'm trying to do this and that. And I look at his YouTube and all the stuff he's doing. And now you look at him 5 years later.
Chilling it.
He the man.
Chilling it.
So
chilling it, man.
But one of the things I did find pretty cool about your background is, and I'm one of the people where I'm not a person that's just telling people, don't go get, you know, go to school, right? Because it's mad to move around.
It is.
Without having a degree.
It is.
But I know that you've been able to move around without a degree, but I believe that's also just because network, but also you know your stuff. How has that experience been for you, like getting jobs and stuff without having like that college degree?
I've never had an issue getting a job without a college degree. And I think that I'll tell anybody, you know, college isn't for everybody.
Right.
Like you said, I don't have a college degree. And depending on the field that you get in, I can see the requirements or the necessity of it. IT, just depending on the lane that you're in, I don't think it's really necessary. If you want to be technical, I could give you a route that can put you on your way. Now, if we're talking C-level, C-suite, executive, obviously you got to have a degree behind your name. But so I would just say it really depends on what lane you want to ride in, you know. But to break into it, right? Because I know plenty of people that have done it. You break in, then you go get the degree.
Yeah, that's why I say get you a starter job, find a couple of tuition reimbursement.
Yeah. Then you get your degree. That's the way to do it nowadays, you know? So
I agree with you. I wish I could redo my master's.
Really?
I do. I enjoyed it. I loved it. But I started out with no knowledge background. So, you know, it was a struggle. But I know now, because of the experience I've been able to gain, I think it would be 100 times more beneficial.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just wish I wouldn't have got laid off from McAfee so they could have paid for their master's. At least I took a load off, you know, a burden off me back then. But so briefly, kind of want to frame out like your experience. So when you did that help desk role, like what type of help desk was it? Was it like one of them help desks that you was doing learning a lot?
Yes.
Or you were just, you know, resetting passwords?
I was everything.
Mapping network drives.
I was everything. We did those things. But infrastructure, when we talk about infrastructure, when we say infrastructure now, I think it's a lot different then than it is now, right? But infrastructure, I was Active Directory. But infrastructure also included going to the data center and taking care of servers, racking new servers, like... You know, so there was a data center networking aspect of that as well, you know, connecting to SANs and storage units, you know, all of that was a part of what I did at help desk, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's somewhere down here. Like when I worked at the NOC, when I moved out here almost 10 years ago, our data center is downtown, and I had to get my, not clearance, but like my access to it, and freaking going there, super cold, and man traps and stuff. And
yeah.
We was only supposed to go down there, I think, like if it was like some type of issue, if we had to do some crap. But like,
yeah,
I think I landed a new job right before I was going to have to start going to the data center and stuff. So I was like, yes, I didn't want to go down there.
Yeah, man, the help desk is critical, man. I wish more people would consider help desk roles. I mean, it's different nowadays, but like, I'm a big proponent of maximizing the position that you're in. Yeah. If you're not even doing that type of thing, man, if there is a way you can make relationships with people around you that can get you that knowledge, that you can expose yourself to it, it's a gold mine, man.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people go to work and they don't network.
They go to work and they go home.
Yeah,
and that's their motto, and they live by it. And that does limit, that does put limitations on your growth, because what they say is it's not your net worth, it's your network.
Yeah.
And if you just,
or your network is your net worth.
Yes, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Or I always steal the one Lightfoot saying, they saying it ain't who you know, but who knows you.
That's it.
What advice would you give to someone on making those, starting to step out and, you know, branch out to make some of those connections if they are unsure of how to do it?
I think you start with authenticity. You know, everything doesn't, sure, we may all work in this particular field, but on a human to human level, what do we have in common? Mm-hmm. Can we start there? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody isn't for everybody, but you don't know until you had a conversation. Yeah. You know, what do we have in common, right? You'd be surprised how much game somebody will give you if you start with the human connection and it's authentic, it's genuine. Like, because people can tell when you're just trying to come at them, you know, just to get something out of them, right?
Yep.
But be curious about people, you know, and I think that'll take you a long way, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, funny enough, I remember, and I forgot to write this in, but like, how long you been doing martial arts?
A long time. My current regime, Shaolin Kung Fu, has been over 5 years.
Okay. But before that, like?
Taekwondo. Okay. Yeah.
So do you plan on being like, what's the dude named, Jason Wilson, to open up your own dojo?
Oh, nah.
What's the difference between the two?
Of what?
Kung Fu and Taekwondo.
So one, where they come from. So Taekwondo is Korean-based. It's more kicks. It's mostly kicks, right? Kung Fu is circular, right? It's more holistic. I'm not going to say spiritual, but it's definitely concentrated on your inner self, right? And it's more situational.
Mm-hmm.
Every movement that you do has a purpose, mm-hmm. right? You may see like all these forms that people do. Like when you watch the old school kung fu flicks, like you see them like
wax on, wax off.
All of that has a purpose. Like there's no wasted movements, right? So I would say those are the two biggest differences.
Is Kill Bill kung fu?
Some.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to say, I could definitely see you opening a dojo, tech and taekwondo.
Let's do it. We got tech in one corner, and then you come get this work in the other corner.
Yeah, I mean, think about a lot of us sit down all day, so you need some exercise and kind of keep your spirit and your body right, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the off the subject question.
It's all good.
Which three ninja were you?
Ooh. Which one? I was the oldest one, bro.
You was Rocky?
I was Rocky, bro.
You got that blue on. Coat had the blue on.
Blue's my favorite color, ironically enough, but Rocky's my guy, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I forgot who I was talking about that with. I don't know if it was, I think it was this past week. I was in Connecticut for a work trip, and we were just talking about how I wanted, we saw the Cobra Kai spinoff, and I was talking about how Three Ninjas needed a spinoff, like Grandpa Don and them starting a dojo and something, and then having the Cobra Kai and Three Ninja students fight.
They should, bro. They should. Work. That would be a vibe.
But how has it been for you witnessing the shift from going from on-prem to all this cloud stuff? And now, and I know that you know this as well, companies reeling back in saying, hey, I think I want to be on-prem some more.
Yeah. You know, ironically enough, you can kind of relate it to like the AI stuff that we have now, right? Like this big movement. The thing about it is, I kind of had a different outlook because of where I came from, right? You know, once you start hearing about it, oh, you know, moving everything to the cloud, you know, everybody's going to lose their jobs and all this other stuff. When you dig into it, you really just understand it's the same skills, it's actually easier, right? I come from a time where like you had to really subnet, like, you know, you trying to like,
wasn't no calculators.
You got to like really, you got to separate out these addresses. Like, and now, wait a minute, I can click some buttons and it's already done for me in the background. It's done on a, oh, that's all I got to do. I'm cool. So really, man, what I tell anybody is don't focus so much on like the job. Understand the management of what's being asked, like understand the bigger vision of what's being asked, man. And if you do that, it doesn't matter, man. You can apply the same thing to AI. Yeah. You just become the managers of what AI can do instead of performing the tasks that AI is going to be able to do for you. So, yeah.
Cool. And so two-part question two is like, how did you eventually get into like saying you want to be a subject matter expert when it came to IT infrastructure, mm-hmm. and then the typical, you know, day-to-day for you and tools that you use in the role?
Wow. So it depends on the role, but I would say now, more infrastructure architecture, I kind of touch everything. More so in the Azure Microsoft space, Office 365, mm-hmm. specifically around cybersecurity. So any of the cybersecurity tools, Purview, Defender, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. From an authentication perspective, I deal a lot with Ping and some other IDPs. Some AWS, but most of the organizations I work with, they're in the Microsoft space.
And so are you more, at this point, more consultant type based because you just got a lot of this experience where you could delegate what their engineers mm-hmm. need to do, or do you have to get your hands dirty from time
it's
to
both
time?
It's engineering and architecture and design, which is in itself consulting, so it's a little bit of both just depending on what it calls for. So
your typical day is probably like filled with like a couple of meetings
and then And I'm not going to get on this tangent. I was talking to my boy.
Nah, get on it. We need something.
Oh, man.
Get on it. We need something.
Oh, man. You know, I was talking to my homie Abdi. Y'all know Abdi. Shout out to Abdi. I was talking to my homie Abdi last night, and we were talking about the difference between being a maker or manager. Mm-hmm. Like, which one are you? And at different times, we'll always put on one hat or the other. I am very much a maker. I'm a creative. I need to be in things. I need to be touching things. Like that's where I get most of my flow, my workflow. Mm-hmm. If you put me in a meeting, it better be about something that's really important, right? And I think that a lot of companies or organizations don't really understand that. Like managers, when you're a manager, you think about it. When I go into a meeting, I'm executing on something that my executives have asked me to do. I've gotten information from my engineers and my architects, and now I'm reporting on it. When that meeting is over, they've completed that task, right? Mm-hmm. As a maker, that's the worst thing you could do is pull me into a meeting, especially when I'm in workflow. And then my whole day is shot, right? Because you've taken me out of my flow. So understanding the difference between the two and putting a day together, putting a week together that really best benefits both sides of the house is critical. So yes, I try to structure my day like, okay, I understand I'm gonna have meetings for this part of the day. The rest of my day is gonna be this. It's gonna be workflow. Put it on my calendar. Don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I try to structure my day.
And what I know you say you use a lot of the security tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Microsoft system. But outside of that, I kind of guess, like, what type of tools do you use? Softwares, platforms, programs?
So from an infrastructure perspective, I use a lot of, like Mimecast, Proofpoint. Those are two of the primary ones that we deal with right now. Yeah. Man, there's so many different
I'm
tools,
like,
bro.
Yeah. Here when it comes to Proofpoint.
It's okay. It's
hit or miss.
I like Mimecast.
I probably would take that over that because, I mean, sometimes the stuff that, like, I mean, then, you know, companies are slick. You get one product. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, we got Proofpoint Trap over here. Mm-hmm. And we got Proofpoint Tap. Go ahead and get them. And some of the stuff that we see from Tap is just ridiculous.
Yeah, so what are you seeing from Tap, though?
A lot of false positives.
Yeah? Really? So...
But I think it's, but I don't know, I don't really put it all on Tap. I think okay. It's on Tap, but I also think it is on the detection team to mm-hmm. make the detection better, to make us not see certain things. Which is certain, which something that I would actually just want to just do myself. But, you know, they are trying to silo and delegate everything.
So talk about it, right? So what would the detection teams do different to bring those false positives down?
So a simple thing they could actually do is they could put inside the detection, if alert comes from certain email address that's either, it could be like this, if it's a external email address and it's containing this one email address that's like one of our spoof email addresses, mm-hmm. that we're like just spam goes to,
mm-hmm.
like it's nothing that we can action on. So if you go ahead and take that out, we won't even have to look at it.
Right.
And then the hard part that these tools can do is, you know, tap may perceive something to be malicious because they don't recognize the sender,
mm-hmm.
but it can't really interact all the time the best way with whatever they deem the threat URL is.
Yeah.
Just for you sometimes to go to the threat URL, I'm like, man, this is a spam message. So it's just like, it's just different things where like, it's like, you know, that's what we tell people all the time. It's like, you can get all the technology you want to. That don't mean nothing. The more junk you got, the more possibilities of a risk of a big incident happen.
Making sure that your rules are right, you know, because mm-hmm. I mean, you see that a lot in the Microsoft stuff, right? Like specifically like DLP policies and stuff like that. You know, the way they write their rules sometimes, like one is, shout out to my Microsoft folks, like if you're talking about social security, right, that's one of the things we want to look for from a DLP.
Uses semantics,
so right, like, well, one of the keywords or one of the sensitive information types is full name, right? Well, if you apply that to email in an organization, how many hits do you think you're going to get on full name? Right. And when you look at it, what is it normally? Signature.
And then not knowing, you know, ignoring just because it's certain digits, it could just be an account number. It's not necessarily a social security number.
Exactly.
And it's not always going to be in dashes. It's a lot, man.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. So, you know, exact data matching and writing your own classifiers, your trainable classifiers. Like I see a lot of that now, you know, mm-hmm. because of those types of instances. So. Yeah,
and I think that's where I probably could see something like AI probably helping mm-hmm. out, because you could say the agent go in, hey, interact with this and see what the context of it is before we make it show to them.
For sure.
And if it could do that, I think that's a way that we could probably shore up a lot of those like unnecessary alerts on non-social security mm-hmm. related messages that's in that. And then sometimes on the flip side is the other context the tool doesn't know is like, hey, this part of our businesses works with people's social security numbers because they're giving them credit.
Yep.
This is normal business use case for them. Don't mm-hmm. show us this.
Exactly.
We're supposed to see this from them.
Exactly. And I think that goes back to also being a practitioner, understanding the organization that you work in.
Yep.
Like understanding what's happening around you. You know, I can't tell you how many times you go into a situation where it's like, okay, we want to put in all these policies. You're running it in a pilot and you're including people that are outside of the IT org and now there's problems. And they're like, oh, well, we didn't even know you guys needed that. Like, yeah, we've been sending out this information for years. And it's like, wow, how did you not know that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you gotta understand your environment for sure.
What's an area that you feel like maybe you struggled with initially, but maybe you became more of an expert, whether it's a tool, a concept, anything
Man,
of that sort?
I'll tell you. You know what? Scripting. Oh, man. I hated scripting.
Why did you hate it?
Because I just didn't. You know what it was? It was lazy. I was being lazy. Like, I didn't like the fact that I would have to sit down and try to understand like all these different variables and understand all these different ways to put something together to make something happen quicker and more efficiently. Right. I was that guy that was like, I'll take the couple hours to go and put those people in a user group or whatever, instead of like taking the hours to write it. And now you have something that's benefiting you at a greater efficiency going forward. But yeah. That was definitely it for me.
What's your language?
PowerShell. I do a little bit of Bash, mm-hmm. you know, but I typically work out of PowerShell. What about you?
I would say me and PowerShell are becoming better friends. I'm Reynos. I was maybe fighting for my life.
Weren't we all?
In PowerShell, for sure. Me too.
I mean, that's where AI come in.
Facts.
This is, you know what's funny though? In order to like for AI to make you what you need, you actually need to understand the foundations of scripting or programming to even make it make sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you just can't say, hey, make me a PowerShell script that automatically gives me the stuff back. No, you got to get a little bit more intricate
you do.
Than that.
You do. You do. And you know what? That's the thing that I use with AI now. Like if I'm writing a script or something like that, I'll throw my script in ChatGPT. I'll be like, hey, check this. It'll go through, check it. And sometimes even when you test it in ISE, it'll give me an error. Now I throw that error in there. I'm like, okay, this is the error that
now
I'm seeing.
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking.
Now you're talking. So yeah. Now, and what happens is now that makes me smarter because now I can see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the benefit of AI to me. Like how does it benefit me? Not necessarily like what can I make it do? You know, what can I delegate to it? How does it benefit me and make me sharper?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think you know?
That helps me out a lot. I
mean, yeah, bro.
Shoot, I was able to use AI to come up with some questions for you. For real.
Is there a tool you can't live without today? Mm-hmm. Something you touch every day?
Probably Mimecast.
Mimecast. It's not even Mimecast. I would say that I can't live without, and it's going to be old school, but...
Notepad++.
No, Azure AD Connect. I can't live without
okay.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
okay.
in my current in my current role, what I'm doing, I can't live without Azure AD Connect because everything goes through it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And you talk about customizations and rules and all kind of stuff that's being placed on it based on the organizational need. Yeah, I'm in there quite a bit, you know, from an infrastructure perspective.
Cool. Now let's get into this segment real quick called This or That.
Okay.
I already know everybody's going to answer every time I ask this stuff, but it's always fun to ask. This or that, working on site or remote work?
Ooh, remote. Because I'm a maker.
This or that, iOS or Android?
Android.
Boo.
Android. But I have both. But Android. Shout out to my Android folk.
This or that, cloud or on-prem?
Cloud. Absolutely.
Next one. Which cloud? AWS, Azure, GCP, or any of the other cloud variants out there?
Azure or AWS. Hands down. Either one.
Mac or Windows?
Windows.
Samsung or Apple?
Samsung? Well, okay. It's this or that, so I can't... I'm going to ask anyway. In what... Samsung or Apple, in what dynamic are we talking?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you got different things. We got, you know, Samsung make washing machines, like photo, Samsung make TVs.
Like cameras, like we're talking like.
Phones.
Yeah.
Laptops.
I prefer Samsung. And the reason why is because I'm more of an open source guy.
Yeah.
Closed sources. It is what it is.
It's right? Real tight.
It's very tight.
All right. Okay. Now, right here, I'm going to switch this other this or that question because I asked you one of these in icebreaker. So I'm going to say, would you say Black Clover or Seven Deadly Sins?
Black Clover.
See, I'm the opposite. I'm a Seven Deadly Sins guy.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can see that.
Honestly, I can't really honestly judge Black Clover. I stopped watching it a while back, so I'm aware of the power-ups and all that kind of stuff, but if it ain't no real plot twist, I probably don't care. Like that's the main reason why I rank Deadly Sins so high, because the plot twist
I
couldn't foresee coming.
Yeah, man. That was like Black Clover. It was like one of the last ones that I watched for a while. Like, you know, I haven't watched it in a long time. But yeah, going into it, I think that was. You know what I didn't like about? I didn't like the way it looked. That's what threw me off of Seven Deadly.
Well, you know, they were having animation issues.
Okay. I was like,
because that's why it was a drop off from like the Netflix adaptation into the other season. So they had those animation issues, and so yeah, that's what kind of make a lot of people mad, because like they had some scenes, like I said, like they had like, you know, one of the best anime characters I've ever seen. Like I always say, Escanor is Vegeta done right.
Okay, you're gonna have to break that down. Like maybe
well, if you think about Vegeta, prime example, Vegeta will come into a movie, BoJack, right? Come save Trunks, epic entrance. Right after that, get beat up.
Get waxed.
Escanor come on the scene, and he said somebody kneeling. Do you see a penny or something on the floor? And who told you that? And it's 12, high noon, and he big. And like, he if it wasn't for him not being the main character, He not taking no L's.
Okay. Okay. I respect it. I respect it. I still ride Team Vegeta, though, bro.
I mean, Vegeta's like the character that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And the better written character, in my opinion.
I agree with that.
Now, back to our scheduled programming. Before we get into like a lot, some more of the AI stuff, I want to ask you, granted, now here's the thing too, and I'll put some nuance to this, because getting into the field is slightly different now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do, you will hear people get mad. It's like, well, what worked 15 and 10 years ago ain't the same, which yeah. I agree is slightly different.
It's
like
different.
Now it is definitely more of a, you got to know your stuff and you got to have a good profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, hey, if you're on Tinder, you got to have good pictures, good profile. a hitch, whatever. What is it? Hinge? Whatever.
Hinge.
What them things called, them sites called. But
yeah.
Now there's a whole other part of it. Like that, to me, the easiest part now is learning the skills. Mm-hmm. But if you have to say what skills these that somebody with no experience need to come in and kind of just learn to at least get their first like help desk job mm-hmm. or IT job, what would you say they need to learn?
The basics of infrastructure, networking, and to a smaller extent now, security.
And when you say networking, do you want them to go ahead and just get the CCNA?
You don't even need that. You could just do the intro. Like you could do like the... I don't even know what the name of the test is now, but it's like they split it up into two.
Okay.
You could just go and do the first one. Just get the fundamentals of networking. Okay. Understand how computers talk, right? That at a minimum. Okay. And then infrastructure is just that, right? Because whatever that foundation is, Active Directory, you know, Linux, whatever it is, understanding the repository for where your data lives. And then from a security perspective, how do you protect it?
Got it. Because I know, like, people, that's like, that's on social media, it's like, should I get the Network Plus, CCNA, mm-hmm. all these different things you had these arguments about. And I'm mm-hmm. like, well, if you're going to spend the money, get the CCNA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, CCNA or cybersecurity, I mean, like, your Security Plus, like, people sleep on what you actually learn in Security Plus.
Well, here's my challenge.
They're only taking the exam to pass it. They don't really... No.
That's facts.
Yeah, they are
that's finishing facts.
Outside
like
of
weeks.
The questions.
That's and facts. I say this because I did so many calls to people that have a Security Plus
mm-hmm.
that don't know anything.
That's crazy.
And it's
me.
Only because of the way the test is administered. I'm right. seeing now, Comp-C is probably about to have to catch up, but like you got TCM Security or Blue Team Level 1, mm-hmm. Hack the Box. All these people are coming out with practical security certifications mm-hmm. as entry level.
Mm-hmm.
So... Eventually, once I don't know when their time is going to be done with like having all these deals with the government and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. eventually they're going to have to improve their tests.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Because if I can go get dumps and stuff and study in 2 days.
Yeah. Boot camps. Yeah.
What did I learn?
Exactly. I agree with you. I agree with you.
I do think that the concepts that it covers are in alignment with the skill set that yeah. I agree yeah. with you there.
I think they fit yeah. better with what we were talking about earlier with Abby with GRC, though. In a sense.
Yeah, for
I think
sure.
it'll make you much more well-rounded for that. When it comes to getting niched, it may be a little bit tougher just because like it's not really showing you any hands-on things. That's why CISA is, that's why the CISA test is so much harder to set plus to me.
Yeah, I'll go with that. And I'm a hands-on guy. Like I could read something 100 times, but until I put my hands on it, and that's why I think you know, from my upbringing, like with the servers, when he put those down, it was so powerful for me because what I would read, I would be able to go
and do
and actually do it. Right. Mm-hmm. That took me a long way, you know.
Bet. So I wanted to ask you this right here.
Mm-hmm.
You're heavily invested in learning about cybersecurity, AI, and building agents.
Mm-hmm.
What's one area within these fields that you believe will see the most significant disruption or innovation in the next 3 to 5 years?
Oh, agents by far. Agents, prompt engineering and agents by far. I think that, and you see it with some of the bigger tech companies now, like Microsoft specifically, like with Copilot. Raise your hand if you've heard of Copilot. Like what they're trying to do with the agents now, the Copilot agents, you can build things on top of them like, I think that's going to be the push, the biggest disruption, your ability to delegate and essentially create clones of the people you work with to do certain things within the sphere. That's going to be the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. What is an agent for people who may not know?
So the way I would define an agent, I like to say, explain it to me like I'm two, right? So an agent is, it is a form or something that you can build to perform a task, right? So a simple example would be, you know, like a lot of executives, they have like executive assistants, right? Like you could build an agent that can essentially look at your schedule and craft your week for you. Like that's just the simplest example mm-hmm. that I can give you, mm-hmm. right? So instead of having a person that does it, now you've got this agent that can that can do it for
you. And then now they built those into apps, like this app called like Motion.
Yep.
They take all your stuff and like kind of free up your time and stuff for you. Mm-hmm. And so like even in a sense, technically, when I, you don't really look at it like that, but then you take a look at it closer, the tools I use for like being an entrepreneur, like I was telling them earlier about Loom.
Yep.
It's an agent. It comes into my meeting, records everything, takes screenshots, writes stuff down, action items, sends it to me, sends it to West Coast. So now, technically, you don't need a scrum master.
Nope.
You don't need nobody to say you got any impediments today.
Nope. And I'm going to write me an agent where I don't have to put in any more user stories. Like I'm going to have a template and everything. Like just drop it. Like this is, create me a story that does this and go do it. Right.
With all of the, you've mentioned a lot of technologies. How are you keeping up with the trends and what's hot outside of obviously speaking with customers, but how are you able to pivot and adapt based upon what's in demand and what customers are asking for?
You're
marketable.
I use it.
Say it again.
I use it. Like you have to invest in yourself.
I know you use it because you're mentioning them and mm-hmm. you can't mention things and stuff that you don't know about.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to use it. And I will tell any, and you talk about already wanting to break in. That's the easiest way to do it nowadays, because we didn't have like the plural sites or anything like that, or an Azure subscription. You mean I could go, when I was learning AWS, you mean I can go and just create an account and mm-hmm. I can just touch everything. So everything that I'm learning, I can go and apply it, right? Like there's power in that. And you use that. And that's what I talk about, like maximizing the position that you're in, you know, especially when you've got that help desk role. How do you expand? How do you make yourself better? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You touch it.
Go find the tickets that the other team's working on.
Exactly. Exactly. Expand yourself. You know, that's how you'll stay relevant in this game.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. 110%. You can cert it down. You can read a book. You can read a blog. But if you can't tell a customer how to navigate somewhere in the portal,
it's a wrap.
If you can't tell them what portal they should be in.
Right. Right. And that's the thing, like, even with the books, most of the time when those books are published, that's old data now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even relevant. So, you know, that's one of the things that you got to consider. You got to touch it in real time.
I didn't have this written down, but I thought about this because you're pretty much going to be hitting on 20 years in your career pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
What salary did you start off when you started off doing that?
Can we talk about this off air? I mean, it was low, man.
No. Here's why I'm saying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the microwave generation.
Yeah.
A lot of the marketing is, you know, come in cybersecurity, get six figures or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's never, well, it's not, the marketing that normally comes from them people is like two things. Either I got a high ticket offer I want to sell you so I mm-hmm. can get my bread.
Right.
Or it's for a person that's trying to get their numbers up and get you to do the affiliate deals. However, when you pull back the curtain and you talk to the people that's been in 10, 15, 20, 25 years,
mm-hmm.
most of them are going to say, hey, I ain't really start off this. And by the time I hit, you know, year 5 to 10 is when I like got all these opportunities, because now I'm a subject matter expert in my field.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure that you probably get hit up a lot for different jobs,
mm-hmm.
myself and others, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, the only people who are kind of like struggling a little bit right now with like interviews and stuff are people with no experience.
For sure. Absolutely.
And then a lot of them are still, not, I don't want to say being ungrateful,
mm-hmm.
but some of them don't really know what their market value is.
Exactly.
And they are keeping themselves out of the race because they're trying to get stuff that they see other people got, not knowing what them people did to get it. Because there's only a few exceptions to the rule for starting out.
Exactly.
And that's not going to be all of you. All of you are not people that anytime I hit you up at nighttime, you're labbing or working on something.
That's true.
So I was just saying, like, from like now thinking about, like, you don't even got to give me an amount, but like if you were to say what you start off then versus now, like the difference.
For the same role is what you're asking. So when I started out in help desk back then, I'll give you a range. It was cool. It was like 55. Mm-hmm. Was like what you were. And back then.
No, that's a lot of money.
Back then. I was back okay. then. And I, you know, back then that was decent.
Yeah, I was right decent. What's the thing called? 08?
Right around, right before, yeah. I mean, like, that was decent money, you know? Now, for the same role, I'd say it's probably 20 or 30 grand higher, just depending on the ask. You don't think so?
If you were talking about just help desk, I don't think so.
I think,
but help desk is different, though.
I think it's around the same area. I've seen it less.
Yeah.
I've seen it in 45.
Really?
Yeah. I have.
Wow.
A lot.
Why? Well, actually, I'll take that back. Still do it to yourself, because not everything is about
the money
right away. Yeah. Right away.
Well, I'll just say, I think that's nuanced too, because you think about, like, people got a family or kids.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
It's a little bit different. Because I would talk to people now, like, they're making good money already in their field and they're trying to transition. I'm like, well, as long as you know, you may have to take a step back. I'm putting back because I know I'm going to take a step back.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a year or two, I'll be back to where I was. And a lot of people don't even have the foresight to really see that.
I tell a lot
of people when they get their first job, I'm like, you know, your life is on the way to changing. And then we stay in contact. They'll hit me up like a year later. Yo, like if they was working with me, let's say, for example, I helped a person get like, let's say they went from $50,000 to making like 90 or something. Mm-hmm. It'll be a year or something later. Like, yo, I just got another job. I'm getting 150.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, if you just put your head down and not worry about what you see on social media, you'll be all right.
For sure.
But you're trying to compete with everybody else.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel that to a T, because when I was getting my master's, I was like, oh my God, how am I ever going to, I just feel all over the place. And I actually contacted one of my professors and was like, you know what? You were right. Hmm. I was so stressed out about getting the job, and look at me.
Yeah.
We work at the same company. Look at us.
Look at and that. That's dope.
It's just like you need people to speak that over yourself, because sometimes when you're in the midst of that battle and that struggle, you don't feel so encouraged. Not that you think negative of yourself, but you're not necessarily thinking about how your life is going to change in a couple years.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, because comparison is a thief of joy.
Eat it up.
Say it again for the people in the back, bro. That's like, so true.
We just got to look at the numbers. Everybody not getting, you know, 200K base.
No.
A lot of people. Everybody, what do you mean everybody? A lot of people.
But I'm saying a lot of these people, they want the life without putting in the work.
Facts.
But a lot of people have not even put in the 5 amount years. Of work, or even have enough experience to even warrant that money.
But you know what? I kind of liken it to, like, social media is such a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
A gift because, and a curse.
Yeah, because now you got people that's like, I can get you into IT 5 days for $9.99. I'll teach you.
Yes.
And it's like,
hey, I would take the $9.99 5 days over getting the cybersecurity in 35 days.
But can you really get in 5 days, bro? Like, no. Like you can't.
And if five?
They did, they were five. To the rule. Like I said, I have a client that I'll help. Mm. And I kid you not, we got him from help desk into a SOC role in like a week. But my advertisement is not, I'm going to get you in security in a week, because he was an outlier. I've not had a person do that since.
True.
Like, it just happened to work out for him like that.
So I bring that up specifically because I told you guys that we had a school years back. Like, two of the guys, and it's funny you mentioned, you were talking about your professor. There was this one guy that was slinging bags in an airline. It's two of them, actually. Mm-hmm. They were friends. They came in. From a year and a half, they went from 35 grand to 90, and they were both in IT coming through our school. One of them, a year after that, was working at the same consultancy firm that I was. So when I hear about the 5 day, and again, it also, I think it says a lot about you as the instructor, as the teacher. I'm really skeptical because I know what it was like. I know how thorough I was with them. Like to make sure they were really, really ready, because I didn't want them to It wasn't even about my rep. It's like, no, I don't want to put you in a position where like you're not ready. You know what I mean?
So, no, it's most of that. Like then you really think about who's the messenger here. You'd be like, did you even work where you said you worked?
And it's some of their experiences too.
Yeah.
That they had, that they came to you with.
Yeah.
He didn't just do help desk for 10 days.
Right.
And get a sock roll. Mm-hmm. He had something to talk about in that interview to be able to illustrate why he was a good candidate.
Yeah, right.
And folks don't even have that.
Exactly.
And are expecting it to happen for them in those 5 days. It is possible, but you have to have something to work with.
Yeah.
And unlike others, anything I told him to do, he did it.
Facts.
Mr. Make It Happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's why the year that they took it in was so important, because the things that I was managing, I had them manage.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were working with VMware before VMware was actually cool, right? Like we were building labs and stuff for them to do. Like, okay, we taught you the concept, go do it. Right. So when we're helping them build their resume, like, hey, we ain't lying on here. You can talk about the things that you did for our organization. Like you're a junior help desk person, and this is what you did. So when they get in the interview, they were able to get those roles because they knew what they were talking about.
How difficult was it helping them articulate what they're doing to be able to understand? Because we do a lot of labs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what you're doing in this lab? Mm-hmm. So was there a component? Okay, you do this lab, and let's talk about what you did, mm-hmm. or give me a summary of what you did, so that they have it embedded in their brain when they're asked those questions in interview to illustrate that skill set.
So I am very much an illustrator, right? That's the thing. So I'll have the illustration period. I'll have the time where we talk about what it is. I will do the lab live, and I'll talk about this is why I do this. Mm-hmm. This is why I do this. Or I'll ask them, why do you think I did this? Right? Because now they start to answer for themselves. Okay, now you see me do it. I tear it down. You go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that you've seen it, it's one thing to see it, but do you understand what you're doing? Right? And if I've explained it to you as we're going down, when you're doing it, oh, okay, you may not get it the first time, but you're like, okay. But now the question that you asked me is a much more intelligent question than just, I don't understand this concept. I don't understand why do I need to put in, what is DNS? Like that's a much different question than, hey, I'm trying to get this server. And I'm talking way back when, like I'm trying to join the server to a domain. And I don't understand what they mean by primary DNS server. Like, what is that? Like, that's a different question.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can work with that.
I tell my students that a lot when they're struggling with labs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, you do it and let me watch you and let me see what you're doing. And you ask the questions as we're going through it. And I'm like, well, do you know what you just did?
Right.
When they get done.
Yeah.
Did you read the lab before?
Did you
ready to get it done? And like you said, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get it the first time.
Talk about it.
It's not going to make sense the first time. So you have to repeat that again. Do it again. Do it again. Tomorrow.
Right. Not only that, it's just the fact that what I've come to realize is most people struggle with simple things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when it comes to interviewing, if you ask me a question and I don't answer it, I start saying something else. And so if I'm listening to the person, my client's interview, I'm saying, you didn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wondering why you didn't get called back. You didn't answer the question.
Didn't answer the question.
I said, not only you didn't answer the question, you don't sound confident in what you're saying.
Facts.
So I had a call with one guy. I was like, I think I told him, like, excuse me if I'm presuming too much, but I was like, it seems like you struggle with a lot of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, yeah, I do struggle with a lot of that. I was like, I could just tell. And I think I also, like, put two and two together that he didn't have a girlfriend or none either.
Yeah.
And I was like, a lot of that stuff, it just always goes together.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Now, I'll ask you all this, reversing it, in your roles, respectively. Most of the IT people that you work with, like the developers or things like that, would you consider them more extroverts or introverts?
More introverts.
More introverts?
I get a range.
Do you?
Yeah, I get a range. The really, really, really nerdy guys that I typically work with, they are introverted extremely.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could even be described as socially awkward.
Yeah.
But they know their stuff.
They know their stuff.
But they know their stuff.
There's a way to still be that, but be confident in what you're saying.
Exactly.
And people,
because you know your stuff.
And people think introverted people just don't like to speak. And right. That's really not it.
It's not it.
No.
They just have it's like a life bar. You ever play video games where it's like,
that's me, my like, social media.
Oh, bro, you get that. I'm done.
Been out somewhere and it'd be like a late night? You're like, man, I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah,
That'd be like years ago.
I was like, bro, I don't even like people. Like, I like people, but in that environment, I was like, why am I even here?
Shout out to the spouses who can recommend and they come ahead and go ahead and get you out that situation.
I'm an extrovert. Like, I love people. I get energy from being around people. So
I think I get energy being around the right people.
There you go.
I am in between.
I love that.
I'm in between.
Are you?
I'm definitely not an extrovert at all.
Really?
But I'll do what I got to do to get that's where good. I got to go. You know?
That's good.
Some people are too introverted in a way where they won't even.
Right.
You know?
Right. And especially in the role that I'm in, you know, a more customer-facing role, it's important that that extroversion serves me well because I'm able to extract things out of those introverts that you may not otherwise be able to because I connect with you on a level different than the technology.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
It's actually funny because that reminds me of like an episode I did with two people here. And me and this guy had interviewed the same person. He was sitting in on our episode in that room over there. He was like, hey, you was able to get more information out of her than I was. I was just like,
yeah.
I've been like this as a kid.
That's it. That's it. You know?
So I wanted to ask you, well, actually, yeah, I'm actually this first, then I'll go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
What's something exciting you're currently learning or experimenting with in the world of cybersecurity, AI, agent building that you can share without revealing proprietary information at a high level?
That I can without sharing proprietary information.
Or we can go to this one. Looking back at your diverse career, what's one skill, non-technical, that has been surprisingly valuable in every role you've held?
Oh, I'll answer that one. Let's answer that one. The other one I'd have to think through. Relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding and appreciating people. That's invaluable for me. If you can get to the heart of, and I'm not even talking like, oh, I really know this person. If you can get to the heart of what moves somebody, why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much that you can't do, right? And I'm not even talking about from a manipulative perspective. I'm just talking about like, hey, who are you? And it be authentic.
Yeah.
You know?
You got that talk no jutsu, Dan.
Talk no jutsu, bro. Yeah, I will tell you this thing. It was funny, man. somebody put this meme up, man. It was like Kid Buu. He was up on the, remember in the end when he threw the, at night, Naruto was like looking up at him. And it was like, talk no jutsu, don't work. And he was about to start talking, but just threw them and just blew up the planet. I was like, oh, man, it don't work on everybody.
It don't
work on everybody. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
And then, so now I got to give you your funny, I ain't saying no names moment. Something, tell us about a time something funny happened at work. You can't say no names, but it's hilarious. It's something that you'll never forget.
Bro, so this was back when I was an engineer, right? And, I was on the team, infrastructure team. VMware, somebody had brought down like a whole cluster. Somebody had brought down like, so now we have like users that are really impacted. So one of the guys that was on my team, he was like working on it. He's like feverishly like working on it, right? The director comes up and is like, so how's it going? And we're like, oh, we're working on it. You know, we'll keep you updated. So then he walks around to where my homie is, and he's like looking down at the screen with his arms folded. He's just like looking down. And so my homie, he stops working, looks at the director. Then he gets up and stands like right next to the director, and he does this. So it's like quiet for like 5 minutes. And so the director's like, well, what are you doing? Like, why are you standing? And he's like, I don't know, man. I was just trying to see if you saw something that would make me work faster. Then, because, I mean, you behind me, like, that's going to make me do something different. Like, bro, that was hilarious to me. And the director laughed and went away. That was like, I thought that was I was young in the game back then, but that was
a little passive aggressive.
At least he had a sense of humor though.
For the exactly.
Other directors would have felt like you showed them up and tried to get you out of there.
Exactly.
The good thing about that director was he was very involved with the team, right? That was for him, it was more so about his people making sure that he was plugged in, so he understood. He knew it, like knew what it was.
It seemed like he had been a director that probably used to be an engineer or something before.
He was.
Those are the best
for the same organization.
Those are the best managers.
They are
directors
by far.
The people who've never did what you did and come in and manage you.
Yeah.
Unless they appreciate themselves the right way, they don't quite get it.
They don't get it, man.
And it doesn't. It never pans out the best.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And you know, the other part of that is making sure that you've got the right balance of technical skill and relationship, mm-hmm. relationship building. You got to have both, man. You're not going to make it as a manager if you don't have that.
No, that's facts, though.
You're not. You know?
No, that's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, bro. Yo, we died. That jump was hilarious, bro. It was hilarious.
She looking like she got something on her chest.
I was thinking of something cool.
Go ahead.
So it's similar to this or that, but it's a little bit longer. Some tech-related things.
Sure.
Okay, so would you rather do daily backups manually with the CLI, or would you like to rely on a flaky automation script that usually works?
Can I ask a qualifying question?
Yeah.
Can I manipulate the flaky?
Nope.
I just do it manually.
Okay, two more. Would you rather have to work with no monitoring tools or no change management system?
No monitoring tools.
And then last but not least, would you rather manage 1,000 servers with no documentation or 100 with the worst naming conventions in history?
Mm.
I know what I'd pick.
The first one. Because I don't know enough about the environment. Like, those naming conventions could really cause a lot of problems.
Exactly.
Huge problems. Yep. Talk about GPOs and all kind of stuff. We could get real nasty with that. Yeah.
Little rapid round.
I like that. Yeah. That was dope.
Cool. I guess I should ask you ServiceNow or Remedy.
ServiceNow, man.
You ever use Remedy?
I've used Remedy. Remedy back in the day, bro.
But I like Remedy as long as it's upkept the right way.
Remedy is cool, but yeah, ServiceNow, that seems to be like the industry trend now. So
yeah, they really doing a big one, as the girls like to say. Zay,
yo,
how can they keep up with you, man?
I'm really big on Instagram. Like I stay on that platform a lot, so. J Davis 236, J-A-Y-D-A-V-I-S 236. Mm-hmm. I have a LinkedIn, to be frank. I really don't use it that much. But you can follow me on like J Davis, J-A-Y-D-A-V-I-S on LinkedIn. But yeah, Instagram is probably the best way to get hold of me.
Cool. And are your DMs open too?
DMs are open.
Okay. If you need them to get screened, send them to us.
We'll this is my cousin. Know. So, you know, you got to go through.
We will let y'all know if we think they're good or not, because sometimes y'all be sending some bull. Or they go through and like two pictures thinking they shot at you.
It's so funny, bro.
That's girl math. I shot my shot, I like two pictures.
There you go. There you go.
And you're supposed to know that mean they shot their shot.
What can you say?
Look, I'll be over there laughing because somebody told them that before.
That's funny.
But until next time, guys, I hope y'all enjoyed the episode. Y'all know what to do if y'all made it this far. Please share it out. Send to everybody. Go run the views up. And until next time, let's stay textual and we out. Peace.
Peace.